Good evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guests are Jim Hardesty and Christoph Ostlund from Ithaca's Farmers Market. Hardesty is on the Personnel and Reserve Space Committee and has been with the market for over 20 years. Ostlund is on the Food Committee and has been with the market for 17 years. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, I want to talk about the early days of the market. I know it was founded in 1973. And who were the founders and what was the impetus behind founding something like this?
Well, to my recollection, I was 1973 was a time when we had a commune down in Spencer. And at that time, a number of people, including a couple of people at the commune, we were growing some crops and things. People got together about the time and decided, wouldn't it be interesting if they had a farmer's market, had a place where that could be sold? Mm-hmm. And people got together. I guess one of the people that's still left from that original time is Chris Gartline, Chris and Ginny. So it came together, and it was kind of tailgating in parking lots. Maybe the Agway parking lot or something in Ithaca and so on, that they developed that. That was the beginning of it, people looking for a market.
Mm-hmm. And so what was the early feedback in the community for that? Were people disturbed by it? Because this is over 30 years ago.
I don't think anybody was disturbed by it. It just, if I recall correctly, I was not involved in it then, mm-hmm. because I was a part of that commune and we did grow things, and we didn't make our money doing that kind of stuff. But there was other people at different places that did. But you know, we knew each other and all that. I think that it got a reasonable start and gradually grew, and I think it was very popular and acceptable considering the ideas that Ithaca people have had. That was a nice thing to do to support local people, so it kind of grew and went on.
Mm-hmm. Was the criterion in the beginning that things had to be locally grown?
Yes. Well, that was the idea, that it was local growers were going to be able to have a mm-hmm. venue to sell their things.
Mm-hmm. Did it have to be organic at that time?
I don't believe so.
I wouldn't think so either.
No, our stuff certainly wasn't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The current structure is absolutely gorgeous. And when was that built, and who built that? Was it gradual?
Well, that was Christoph? Built, I believe, about 15 or 16 years ago.
86.
Steve Gibeon, local architect, designed it, and he designed it so they could be built in stages by the market members themselves. Mm-hmm. It was part of what everybody had to do as a member of the cooperative, is come down and help on construction.
Really? So the plan was sitting there, and people who even didn't have experience were supposed to come down and nail boards?
Don't worry, you know, it's one of those things that there's a lot of things that can be done, and literally after about the second stage, everybody had a pretty good idea of what their job was. Mm-hmm. I built roof trusses. And I know there was a couple of women that did all of the notching in every one of those big posts that you see throughout
wow.
the market. It was done by three people.
Huh. How long did the whole process take? Years?
About 2 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then the wood floor took some time after that. Mm-hmm. But now we have, you know, a fully roofed structure with the wood floor down the center. Mm-hmm. So it's handicapped accessible. And really keeps the dust down a lot. So mm-hmm. it works out real well.
Was the market open during the process of building it? Or were you
oh, yes.
having the market in a different location?
No, the market was open during the whole time. Mm-hmm. It just got better and better and easier to use.
So you started off with a small number of vendors. How did you attract other vendors? Did somebody go around to different farms and ask people if they wanted to participate?
Well, in the beginning, a lot of people joined, and people got memberships. I know a lot of people had memberships just so in case they wanted to use it, they could, but they didn't. As a matter of fact, years later, we finally sat down and decided that we needed to have active members because of the booths and all that. But originally, we had started out over in Taganic Boulevard near the station restaurant, and that was rather, sort of very simple and basic, and people got started there. A lot of people had joined up and did things. But when we needed to move, for a number of reasons I won't get into, but we needed to move, Joe Daly was the person that actually found that old Lehigh Valley Railroad dump site that's now Steamboat Landing, and it was also the steamboat landing back, you know, in the 19th century when there were steamboats running up and down. And that was one of the places that they stopped. So it's a very historical site on top of it. And I would say that I have to really pay some respect to James Cummins of Little Tree Orchards, who was a person who in those days was the taskmaster and the driving force that really brought that together. You remember how that was? I mean, a lot of people did a lot of things. I took every one of those posts that were notched and all this kind of stuff, and my crew put them in and squared them and measured them and all this kind of stuff. But it was a real happening event, and everybody learned how to do it, and people knew certain parts of it, and so we got it going. Once that was established, we had two parts of it. The first part we did had no roof on it, and it had just some shorter posts and so on like that we put tarps over and different things of the first part. And then when we really got together and began to build it, is the real thing it is now. Once that really got together, all of a sudden, as you remember, the market got real popular. Everybody wanted to be part of it, see, and that's been the case ever since. Once we really put it into gear and built it there,
So you got the structure together after a couple of years, and all of you guys built it together. Did you then put together a person structure? Did you put together a body that governed this market?
Well, it's a cooperative, and as such, you know, we've developed bylaws that we try and hold to, but as any other business entity, it's always in a state of growth. So things change.
So it's a collective. Does that mean you have to have consensus before you make decisions? Is it that kind of a cooperative?
Well, we have a board of directors, and we have committee chairpersons, and we have general meetings, and so it is a kind of representative government in the sense that the board makes decisions, and we have input into the board. Myself, I deal with reserve spaces, and I deal with problems with reserve spaces and things happening and a lot of different things that occur. I hear about people talk to me about it. I take that to the board, take that to the manager, talk to other people about it, and try to keep the flow of information going so that we can make the corrections we need to make. But it is the board makes the decisions, the manager, you know, tries to analyze things, and the committee chairpersons deliver information to the board, and different things occur that way. So it is a kind of a democratic situation that way.
Democratic collective. What's the criterion for being a vendor at the farmers market? What has to happen?
You have to live within 30 miles of Ithaca, and you have to, in the case of a grower, you have to grow what you sell. You can't buy from a neighbor or any wholesaler and resell. In the case of a food vendor, you have to make the food yourself. Not every single item. For example, I do burritos, so I don't make my own tortillas, but I make my own salsas, all my own fillings. In the case of craft vendor, you have to make the craft yourself, so that it's not a case where you just go out and buy something and resell it.
And then do you police that? Have you ever caught anybody going out and buying things?
I remember, about 12 plus years ago, we actually kicked a board member out.
Really?
Who was buying produce wholesale and reselling
goodness.
It.
Yeah,
I mean, we do try and hold to the basic guidelines. We have three levels of membership. We have full members, associate members, and easy entry. Full members obviously have the full voting rights. Easy entry or associate and easy entry have different rights, but not the access necessarily to the Saturday market, which is obviously the big one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of bringing in new members without getting really committed to it.
Mm-hmm. What do you do about food safety? How is that handled? Does the health department get involved?
The health department is responsible. Every food vendor has to get a health department permit or go through ag and markets, depending on their situation.
Mm-hmm.
The health department does an inspection. They inspect you on site. and whatever kitchen you're using for preparation. The health department locally, I've found, having had a restaurant here, is very good. If they find a problem, they make sure that you know how to fix it, mm-hmm. and they really help you get it done. Mm-hmm. So I'd say you have very safe food down there.
I would assume so, yeah. Jim, when you somebody sent me your biography, and it said in it that you were looking forward to a better and bigger relationship with the community in the future. What did you mean by that? What's your relationship with the community now? Have there been tensions?
No, I actually didn't mean that that way at all.
Okay.
What I meant was that for myself, you know, if we were talking before about how much fun it is to be at the market, you know, because I was talking about what's good time. I thoroughly enjoy it. You mm-hmm. see a lot of people. You meet a lot of new people. You see a lot of old people. You have customers. You have people that support what you do, like what you do. And we have the best food because, like I say, it's all well policed and inspected. We don't fool around with that. We have the best crafts because the committee makes sure that everything. We really are out to serve the community and for us to be able to make a living and have that really be an organic system that works out well. My meaning by that is I'm looking forward to even a bigger and better relationship with the community, with maybe more activities. We've extended the market by an hour more this year, which is beginning to pick up, and the idea is that we are a community service organization. I mean, this is how we make our living, and we do these things. We provide our arts and crafts and abilities and such like that, but I'm hoping that as we move along, we'll be able to have and there's things in the works to try to expand some things and to have more parking and to a whole lot of things that were I can't say that there has ever been, as far as my knowledge, as soon as there's any ever been anything but fantastic community support and enjoyment. I wish it were easier parking and access sometimes with the traffic and so mm-hmm. on. We do, but that it's you know, sometimes dealing with municipal and state governments is, you know, like pulling teeth from grizzly bears or something. But we're that's the thing. I'm hoping that we can just have it's wonderful, and I'm hoping it'll be more wonderful for all of us. And
you know, I've never had a hard time parking. Sometimes I've been caught up in a little traffic. But
well, that's more what I mean. But we don't have. We'd like to have more room, and we're working on that.
Uh-huh. When did the artists market start? You guys are
right,
connected to that.
The artist market is going to be on this, let's see, July 31st, mm-hmm. I believe it is.
But historically, when did you start accepting artists and provide a whole market?
As craft?
A yearly craft artist market.
Oh,
yearly one that you do.
Boy, I'm not sure on that one.
I think it's been about 10 or 11 years. Hmm. I'm trying to remember back. With it. It's been, I would say, maybe 10 years.
Yeah, because I think I may have sold at one or two of them, and then...
And the impetus behind that was that there were so many artists asking if they could have a special weekend, or...?
Well, it was another way to bring in more people on a Sunday market. Saturday market, as you know, is our busiest time.
Yeah.
Sunday market, when we can do something that'll bring in more customers, generate more interest in the market. So that was added.
Mm-hmm. And not a bad venue either.
Oh,
in
it's
the
a
sense that you
venue.
Can bring a lot of people down to display their works, and people from all over come to see that. So it's a good venue as well. Good idea.
How is that policed? Do people have to show their work, and there's some people who judge it and decide whether they're worthy or
the
what?
I believe the arrangement is that, of course, if you're a market member, then you have to go through the jurying of the committees in the market to get in there. But for the artist market themselves does all of that kind of stuff so that they decide who is going to be able to get there. And then there's so many booths that are available on that day, and that is, I think, taken care of by...
So that's a separate committee?
No, that's the artist.
That's
the artist market, the organization that of that group of people who are involved in that. That's that's not something that's specifically part of the market. That people came to us and asked. See, it's the same thing. People have weddings down there, and,
mm-hmm.
and different things that will occur because mm-hmm. it's a nice venue to have it, and so on. And
mm-hmm.
so they have to make those arrangements. We rent rent the space or make arrangements, whatever. And this is essentially the same kind of thing. So we do not have much to do with this deciding who's in. We just provide the spaces and our rules and such and so.
Make sure people follow the rules.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically it.
You are listening to Out of Bounds on WEOS. I'm Tish Perlman, and my guests are Jim Hardesty and Christoph Ostlund from the Ithaca's Farmers Market. I wanted to ask you about the DeWitt Park location. When did that start? Did the need to expand out or just request from the city? Or?
Well, I know we were trying to have a downtown market. I don't remember exactly when that one started up. Mm-hmm. But the purpose of the downtown market is to serve people who are either working downtown or for whatever reason can't make it out to the weekend market.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's kind of gone through, it'll grow and then fade out a little bit, but right now it's a pretty full market.
Mm-hmm. And is it a desirable market? Are people vying for those positions, or is there still lots of room for other
men? I think right now we're just about full.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a fun atmosphere when you go downtown and you see all of that happening. It's almost like a little carnival.
Yeah. When the weather's real nice, it's real nice.
Who runs the day-to-day operations? Who's the manager and what do they do?
At the present time, Kathy Koken is the manager, and she been with us for a while as the accountant. And so when our last manager needed to move on, she took over and is doing a heck of a good job. Mm-hmm. And and she's well known, and she knows a lot of people, and so that's the person who sort of takes care of the day-to-day business. Mm-hmm. You know, Thursday market, Tuesday market, Saturday, Sunday market. She's the one that's there, sort of taking in the money and answering the phone and just making sure things work out right. That's how that works. And then committee people and so on, we talk and work together to try to you know, take care of problems or fix things we need to fix, make things work better, and so on. So we all kind of work together.
Hmm. How many committee members are there? How many committees are there?
Oh, boy.
About a dozen?
Probably eight.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that, around eight or nine.
I know you're on the food committee and you're on the space.
Reserve
and
Space
personnel.
Committee, Personnel Committee, uh-huh. Yeah. And we're also trying to, I haven't had the time to put all this together, we're going to have an advisory committee to the board, and someone suggested that we call it the Pioneers Committee, people that had been around for a while that sort of have seen enough things to know that, you know, we got to put a little paint here and we got to do a little fixing over here and we got to make sure that such and such works. Not to forget some of the, you know, the basic operational things need to occur and some of the things we need to think about in terms of keeping everything flowing well. And I think that actually in the last number of years, we've really been flowing very, very well. I think that the things have worked out. We've got things really doing quite well.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the dog policy? I noticed that dogs are only allowed on Sundays. Is that it?
They're allowed in the market on leashes on Sunday. They're not allowed in the market with or without a leash at all on Saturday because the market's too crowded.
Yeah, but on Sunday, have you had complaints about that? Because I've gotten there on Sundays and I've seen people have gotten a little freaked by
it. Well, everybody thinks that their dog is well behaved.
Is there a committee to police the dog?
Well, that was, I believe, a membership and a board decision. People do like to be able to bring their pets out. You are responsible for your pet. You know, it's a nice thing to be able to let people bring their pet. Mm-hmm. They have to recognize that it could be a stressful situation for their animals, so they have to be very careful with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people there. There's a lot of little kids.
Yeah, I know. I usually go on Sunday. So.
And, of course, the essentially bodily functions of any living creature have created difficulties that we, especially on the Saturdays, don't want to deal with. And there have been a number of cases where dogs have knocked children and elderly people down, and that kind of thing is we got to be careful with that. That's, you know.
Yeah, I would assume so.
That is another one of Kathy's many duties, is that she gets to be the poor person who has to go out and police all this and tell people to take the animal outside.
Oh, that would be a thankless job, wouldn't it?
I thank her.
Me too, yeah.
Have you noticed a change? I know you've been with the market, Jim, for 20 years and you for 17. In regard to people requesting more organic food, it seems like the movement is growing in increments in the last few years.
I think there's been interest in organic. One of the neat things that I've seen at the market in the last several years is we have more people that are producing meat. Uh-huh. They bring it in, they raise the meat, have it butchered, packaged. It's sold frozen so that you can get pasture-raised beef, lamb, pork, chicken, turkeys.
I think I even saw ostrich out there one time. Is that possible?
Don't know about that. I remember quite some time ago we had somebody who was selling live fish down there. And you picked the fish you wanted, came out of the tank, it was cleaned and prepped for you and ready to go.
And that's not an ongoing thing?
No, that was another one of those glorious things that ranked up there with chinchilla farming as an easy way to make $1 million.
Oh, so have you seen more interest in locally grown and organic food, though?
I think it's been building up more and more. Basically, you could go down to the farmer's market and buy your whole meal. We have several vendors that have ice cream.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that.
Robert Barkley's got ice cream, and you pack up ice cream to go, so you can go down and buy all the ingredients for an appetizer, an entree, pick up a dessert, several different kinds of wine, hard cider from Bellwether, you know, everything you want is down there.
You know, we hear a lot about how farmers are having a hard time surviving. Are small farmers in our area as well? Or is small farming a growing commodity at this point?
They're working real hard. Mm-hmm. You know, when they say that small farmers having problems, you have to understand, a small farm, when they try and have diversification in their crops, good hailstorm moves through and suddenly you've lost your cherry crop. It gets real dry, the corn doesn't get up to size.
Right.
So, I mean, it's always a gamble. Mm-hmm. It's always a real challenge. And so by buying from a local farmer, you're actually acknowledging the effort that they put into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's helping the community, as well as people's health.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of it in terms of a health issue to try to buy local produce instead of stuff that's been sitting around from Mexico or Israel or wherever, or California even. Mm-hmm. It's probably lost some of its nutrients. What are some future events that we can look forward to coming up at the market before it closes in December?
Let's see. I think we have the Blueberry Festival in August.
And what is that?
I know we'll be featuring different dishes with blueberries. I think we either have bluegrass music or some blues guitarists coming, but I'm not sure on that one.
And when is that?
I don't know the exact date.
Okay.
I do know that on the last Saturday of the year, we do have our National Rutabaga Curling Competition.
You know, I saw that listed. Tell me about that. What is that?
Well, you come down, sign up, and you too can become a Rutabaga Curling Athlete. You get to participate in the March of the Rutabaga Athletes. And then at the appropriate time, you will stand at the start line, roll your frozen rutabaga down the market. Whoever comes closest to the target wins. And if you win, you don't have to take your frozen rutabaga home with you.
Who started that? That's really quite humorous.
A bunch of bored farmers market members when there were no customers around and a lot of frozen rutabagas. So we started rolling them down the market.
So obviously this is a winter sport, right?
Yes. You know, it's a good way to end the year.
I see. And
you actually get to play with your food.
And if I remember right, that's on December 18th, and there's also a raffle of a quilt, and it's sort of the end of... When does the market actually end? Does it end that day?
The last Saturday before Christmas.
Uh-huh. And what do you guys do when the markets are closed?
Rest.
basically rest?
Oh, I don't believe that. You know, I both know it. No, we there's other things, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
and farmers are selling in the fall, obviously, right. Some of their little farms and stands outside their farms.
Yeah, and of course, I'm not in food or farming, so I teach and have uh-huh. lectures and demonstrations and scientific things involved. And I have another company, then that's kind of, you know, is always running. So there's rest, yes, that's a good term. Yeah. I have to think more about
that. So the farmers market people don't meet during the off season, or do you still have board meetings?
Food committee meetings will go on every month.
No matter whether the market.
I mean, so we still have membership duties that we're always taking care mm-hmm. of. In March, we have a big cleanup day, general membership meetings, and then you're prepping and getting ready and.
You know, I have the Reserve Space Committee. One of the big things we have to do every year is at the end of the year, we have to ascertain if anybody is going to leave or need a leave of absence or something of that particular nature. So as far as my activity in the wintertime, we have to get together what spaces are going to be available that year. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, there were actually 9 spaces, and it was quite an operation because everybody would love to get a space, and you have to bid for that with a number of points you have based on several criteria that are part of how long you've been there, how many markets you do, and so on. But so we have to coordinate that, get a map up, get that mailed out because it's usually the last Saturday in March, second to the last Saturday in March, so that we have the stall auction where people have to come down and then bid, go around, and we just go around from one through the whole thing so people can bid. And then if somebody gets a new stall, the people move, we have to do all that. That's quite an operation because there's a lot of things to do to make sure that that works out right, everybody's points are correct, so that's a winter activity we have to take care of. So it's never never a dull moment.
what can people do if they want to join the market or have a stall there? How do they get in touch with you?
I would say that the best thing to do would be to call the market manager, I suppose. Come down to the market on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Thursday.
Probably come down on a Sunday.
Yeah, come back. Well, yeah,
Saturday wouldn't be the best day to come.
Saturday being very busy, but the point mm-hmm. is if you came down to the market and got an application and took a look at it and spoke to the manager a few things so you could get started, that would be a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I've been wondering too? What if somebody takes out a stall and doesn't show up very often? How do you deal with that kind of thing? Do you give them 3 chances and they're out? Or?
Well, it depends on their level of membership. And I think as a full member, you have to meet the requirement of something like 20 or plus Saturdays. So you have to show up and fulfill your requirements for being there to sell. Customers like to see the same vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Other than a name change, I've been in the market in the same place now for 17 years. And
it's a commitment.
The times when I don't show up because I'm off doing a festival or something, when I come back the next week, I hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a website?
Yes.
IthacaMarket.org, is that what it is?
You'll have to pardon my ignorance.
You don't remember.
You got that one?
I don't.
I think it is IthacaMarket.org. But go down to the market and find out for yourself if that doesn't come up. You can always talk to somebody down there. We have run out of time. Thank you so much for being with me.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Out of Bounds is produced by Tim Reppert at Rep Studio in Ithaca. We are a project of the Women's Interfaith Institute in Seneca Falls. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. If you want to talk to us, you can email us at weos@hws.edu. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.